Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning, so we have open lines and we have some questions that we want to address, and we're going to approach them from a couple different ways. So hopefully something, even if this is not a question that you have experienced, parts of it, odds are something that will help. So I encourage you to listen, and if you've got any comments or questions, feel free to either call in or post in the chat room. We're there. And you can always email me during the rest of the week at diane@wecanprepare.org. Now, our blog is wecanprepare.org, and you can also purchase the books that cover at least some of this material. Obviously, we're able to go into much greater depth when we're doing a live radio program. And we're also able to address specific situations and specific concerns. Each one of us is unique, and our history and dreams and goals are unique. So when we write things, we try to address generalities. One of the great benefits of today's interactive networking options and the internet and in these kinds of radio programs is that the general guidelines, the general information, the general approaches can be applied to specific situations. And hopefully that doesn't help just the people or person who has those questions, but also all of us, because we can see that there is no situation that these principles don't apply to. Because when it comes down to it, our basic approach, our basic principle is all about depending on God. It's all about letting Him speak for Himself, letting Him be the one who gives us the answers that not just answer our question, but change our lives. Because pretty much any questions we've got, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for a change. We're looking for a healing, for peace, for guidance. We want to change. And so many of the times we think that gaining knowledge, gaining understanding is what gives us what we need. That if we just understood what God was doing, or if we understood what we were supposed to be doing, or why God does something, or where we failed, we have this misguided thinking process that if we just understood, it would make everything all right. It would make it bearable. It would give life meaning. And so we try to concoct, very often just out of our own imaginations or out of what we've heard, we try to connect the dots without all the information, without all the dots. And even when we can all come into agreement, this is the answer for this situation, it rarely lifts that burden. So our goal is not just to come up with the right answers. It's not just to have the right doctrine, believe the right thing. Believing the right thing is not what's going to give you the strength you're going to need to continue to depend on God. Only experiencing Him will give you that strength. When we talk about knowing Him and experiencing Him, most of us can say we have an inkling about what that is. And yet when we really get down to the nitty-gritty, it's a hit or miss. Occasionally, we experience Him. We can look at times and seasons and points in our lives that He's made Himself known, either by His presence or by insight or by some kind of intervention on our behalf, whether it's through people or just Himself. We see His hand in our lives through providence or even through miracles. We don't want to settle for an occasional experience with God. He doesn't want to settle. He doesn't want us to settle for a superficial relationship. He doesn't want us to settle for that kind of a relationship where we are the ones who, we feel we're the ones who have to do all the work in order to get Him, to make Himself known to us. And when we do that, when we think that's the case, when we think that there's no one else who can, that we're on our own with God, that it's just Him and us, and that we are the ones that God is waiting for us to do the right thing or move Him, we've really bought into a lie. And with our question of the week, we address, we are, a lot of those issues come to the surface. A lot of those questions are about, a lot of those aspects of the questions are about some of the, a culmination of different aspects of the struggles we all share. We all are struggling with our misconceptions of who God is and who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. And so many of the aspects of this question, of these questions, is geared around our misunderstanding of the time we live in and the realm we live in. Now, we've talked so often about the three realms of reality: spiritual, supernatural, and natural. And as we look at the stresses that so many are under right now and that are reflected in this question, we see so much opportunity for our enemies to take hold. And the question of the week is, I look back at my life and see all the places I've missed God. or I didn't even ask to find out what he wanted. How do I get back on track? Can I make up for all the laziness and selfishness to be what God is requiring in this hour? Okay, I'm just going to repeat that question, but it's posted all over on the site and on the chat room, so if you're following along, it's available, because it's a long one this week. But I think these are issues that we all, at some aspect of them, can relate to. I look back at my life, and I see all the places I've missed God, or I didn't even ask to find out what he wanted. How do I get back on track? Can I make up for all the laziness and selfishness to be what God is requiring in this hour? Like I said, there's a lot there. There's a lot that we can really address and really listen to, because our questions often reveal our greatest struggle, and our questions often reveal our greatest misconception. When we talk about missing God, when we talk about getting on track and getting off track, and when we talk about looking back, these are clear indications that we don't understand some pivotal aspects of our new identity. So let's just review a couple things that hopefully will make it clear where we're going to go to address this specific question. First, let me just come right out and say that when you ask, how do I get back on track? Let me just challenge you. You're on the right track. You've never gotten off. You're on the right track right now. It may seem like you've taken a wrong direction. It may seem like you've missed God or you didn't ask. But you are exactly right now, you are exactly where he wants you. Because you've got to remember, it's not what you decide is important to God. It's what he decides. And you are what's important to him. In your spirit, you have never wavered. You have always been absolutely one with him. There's no other option. You can't turn from him in your spirit. And to say you didn't ask in your spirit, you're in constant communication with him, 24/7, beyond time, beyond place. You, in your spirit, you cannot make a mistake. You cannot be lazy or selfish. And what's really cool is you have already fulfilled all of God's requirements for this hour or for any other time. But what this reveals is that there are areas in your life that God wants to reveal his working in you. Not to distract you, but to free you. So when we look at some of the aspects of what God is doing in your life right now, we can look at specifics to how does dependent grace, how does what we're teaching here apply to your life? How do we break this down and look for the ways that God wants to free us? We identify the enemies. And remember, whenever we're believing a lie, we are vulnerable to our enemies. And our enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay? Remember that. God's not your enemy. And we can't even say that we're on God's side or that God is on our side, because we're one. So I guess we could say we're on our own side, and that's really all that matters. That makes us a majority. But in this case, we can identify aspects of each one of our enemies just by the question. And on a one-to-one basis, we deal with how this really applies and what this really looks like, but for our purposes here, we're just going to keep things very general. So if our enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil, the world system is going to keep you attentive to time. That once you've lost time or wasted it, you can't get it back. But that's a misrepresentation of the nature of time. Time only applies to your physical being, not your soul or your spirit. So you have authority over time. So when you are trying to let time have an effect on how you perceive yourself, how you perceive God, how you perceive others, how you perceive the situation you're in, you're buying into that lie of the world system. The world system is also defeating you through peer pressure. Because somewhere you've gotten the idea that if you were doing everything right, if you were ready, if you weren't lazy, if you weren't selfish, you wouldn't be going through the system, the situation you're in now. So you've gotten this idea, and you may even see others going through this more victoriously, without struggling, without stress. And you feel like to be a good Christian, this is what it would look like. And you're comparing yourself to a standard that does not come from God. Because according to the standard in God, you have already met that standard. What a relief we have. What a relief that that's the whole goal that God had for his sending his son and going through the whole process, is that he could sort of finish the part we were struggling with so we could move on with knowing him. As a God, what is his, again, what is his main characteristic? To give. He's a giving God. At the basic, his root, he is a giver. The basic characteristic of his love is to give. But what does he need in order to give? He needs a receiver. This is why we refer to grace as accepting unconditionally what God gives unconditionally. So we look at what are we placing conditions on that God hasn't. God says, I give you the kingdom. I give you eternal life. Not just everlasting life, but eternal life. And I give it to you now. And I'm making you a son. I've made you, adopted you into my family. And you are now a joint heir and a co-inheritor, not a lesser. Now live like that. And if we are under the idea that we have to do something, an example I've used is, if you owe the bank $100 million and you go to the bank and you're paying off a penny a week, it's going to take you more than your entire life to pay it back. And it's accruing interest, and you'll never be able to pay it off. So God comes along, and he wants you free from that burden of debt. Because it's distracting. You're working to pay off a debt that can't be paid. And so it's distracting you from what he wants to do in your life. It's distracting you from being able to receive his love in his life. So rather than give you the money so that you can pay it off, he pays it off for you. So that bank, that debt, they get their money. They get their $100 million. And now that they don't have any debts to collect, you know, they're done. They shut down. The problem is we've gotten so used to going to that bank once a week to pay our penny that the enemy, our enemy, has seen an opportunity. And even though that debt is already paid off, and the bank is closed, our enemy gets behind that teller's window and accepts our sacrifice. He accepts that penny. And he just says, see you next week. Sometimes he adds on to it, well, we have a special fee. You were 15 seconds late today. So we're going to double the interest for this week. You've got an extra penalty. And so he keeps us distracted, trying to catch up, to pay off something that's already been paid off. God wants us free from these distractions. But if we believe them, this is how also the world keeps us under that pressure, that if we were a good Christian, this would never happen to us. And that if we made mistakes in the past, now we have to make up for them. We have to do double duty. These are all lies. Another of your enemies is the flesh. Your flesh. Your flesh is unique. And at its root is control. And in this case, avoidance. All flesh, anytime you feel like you don't have control and you want to work at getting control, you're dealing with the flesh. This is your self life, your soul life, not your body, but any attempts to try to meet your needs on your own without depending on God. So when we say, how do I get back on track? Not only is the notion that you're off track a lie, but the idea that you can get back on track is a lie. Because all you're trying to do is control your situation. Now there's times when God says you need to change here, we need to reestablish your workday, or we need to reprioritize how you're spending your life. That's totally different, isn't it? That's not you getting back on track. That's you depending on God and him and you working it out. This is how we're doing this, being joined together, working to accomplish something in your soul and in your body that has already been accomplished in your spirit. And a lot of times we think we want to hear from him and we think we want to know what's going on, but we're often so afraid of what he's going to say. The condemnation and the you know, we don't need any help from the enemy so often because we're already so down on ourselves that all we need is any opportunity and we can just rip ourselves apart. And that's what feeds our flesh. And likewise, the devil, with that example, he wants to keep you distracted. He wants to keep you stuck right where you are. He wants you to feel a victim of your own laziness, your own selfishness. And he wants you to create standards that God has not created. When you think that God is requiring something of you that he hasn't first given you, you already have right now and are doing everything right now that is required in this hour, because you have authority over this hour. This hour, whatever circumstance or situation you're in, was created by God for you. Not against you, but for your benefit, for your best. It's not punishment. It's not a circumstance of being doing something wrong, a consequence. It's to bring you, it's to make you more able to receive who he is. He loves you so much, he's not going to let anything stand in the way of his being able to share with you everything that he is, spirit, soul, and body. That's why you can never be off track. He is the track. And when we think that we're so big that we've missed him, we need to refresh our memories and ask the Lord, is this even possible? Now, what's great about so many of the things about God is that he knows where we're at. And sometimes he'll give us the assurance we need, in the language and in the terms we understand at the moment, because he's gentle and he's kind. And he doesn't just come right out and say, man, you're just believing a bunch of lies. How can I even talk to you? He speaks to us in terms we can understand. But this is also why it's so important that we be willing to give up our beliefs, because over time, so many of the things even you and I are talking about now will be swallowed up in greater truth. So we're not saying we have all the answers because of knowledge or understanding, but we have all the answers because we are depending on God. And he is the answer to every question, to every problem, because he's the creator of it. So for now, just remember that you have authority over all your enemies. You are not a victim of your past, of your flesh patterns, your laziness, or your selfishness, and you haven't missed him. So the question is, what do I do now? You ask God, God, is there anything I need to know? Because these are the three aspects of dependent grace and our purpose here on this earth: to know him, to get healed, and to overcome the flesh. To know God, to hear his voice now, to be able to test it and have that confidence that we are hearing him now. So if there is something else he wants to talk to you about, you know you're hearing him in your soul. You already are in your spirit. You need to know him in your soul. And we need to get healed, because we need to know what wounds are keeping us vulnerable to the lies and the condemnation. And we are overcoming our flesh by depending on God to identify our flesh. And then we give him permission so that he can consume it. Then that frees us to be able to change whatever happens, whatever habits we have, whatever decisions we need to make, whatever choices we need to make now, going forward. Now, you own time. Yes, you can go back and correct your past, and you can correct your future now. You have control over time. But also, it gives you the peace and the rest to change your habits as you are able in this world and learn how to exert your authority in this world. So hopefully that answers your questions. If you've got more questions, you've got some different aspects you want to talk to about this, drop me a line at diane@weekendprepare.org and we'll see what we can do. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great weekend.